welcome to the Sober Buddy Podcast, your daily boost of sober thinking and awesome life building. I am Tara Schiller, CEO and co-founder here at Sober Buddy, and I'm joined by my father, an addiction recovery expert and co-founder, Paul Breathen. I'm super excited about our podcast today because we're going to talk about how the challenges in the Sober Buddy app are designed to help you get and stay sober. Remember, if you like what you hear on the podcast, you should download the Sober Buddy app for bite-sized challenges, motivation, tips, and sober tracking so you can take your life to the next level. There are so many good challenges, and we're going to talk about what they're all about and how they came about and how we came up with them and the algorithm and all that fun stuff. Let's get started. Welcome to the show, Dad.
Yep. Hello. Hi.
We have
good to see you. It's been a while.
Yes, we are. Now, for those of you who don't know, Paul, my dad, lives in Uganda, and he's lived there for, is it 15 years now?
About 14 years, yes.
14 years. Yes. So, and what do you do in Uganda? Like, everybody wants to know, why is he in Uganda?
Well, I have an NGO, and it's Net for Hope Foundation. And so I do a community development, and there's several projects through the years. And I think right now, the longest one we have is the school that's in an urban slum for the kids there, nursery, primary one through five. And that's actually where Teddy, my wife, is actually the one who runs that program. She's the administrator, and it's a great project in that community. I mean, there's numerous things that we're doing, but that's the main one right now.
And just for reference, Teddy is Ugandan, and she's like so awesome. We love her. She's like one of our favorite people in the family. Sorry, everybody else who's in our family, but she's one of my favorites. So she is incredibly, she's just an amazing person, amazing soul. And she runs that school amazingly. And so I just love what they're doing out there. And Dad here, good old dad, Paul, has just been amazing at helping with the Sober Buddy Project and helping us get this off the ground because you're super passionate. You've always been on the forefront. You've always been on the forefront of recovery.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about that. Like in the 80s, what were you doing in the 80s with recovery? I think now everybody, just for reference, this means he's a boomer. He's a total boomer, you know?
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, in the 80s, I actually started with Matrix Institute in 1986. And what was interesting is I never really had this passion or thought that I was going to be in drug and alcohol recovery treatment. You know, I was just going to do general therapy, counseling, set up a clinic. And I was actually doing an internship at the time. And it was miraculously how the doors opened for this opportunity to be an intern at the clinic that just opened up. Their main office was in West LA, and this was in San Bernardino County, and they were looking for counselors. And so I figured, well, I'll just do it for a year, kind of learn that aspect of treatment. And I liked what they were doing. They were cutting edge. It was new stuff in outpatient treatment. And, you know, it turned into 1 year and actually 17 years at that particular office where I became the director shortly after I started, actually a couple of years, and been directing that for many, many years and had great projects and research and treatment and training and supervision and clinical. I mean, all the aspects of recovery was really done to that particular office.
And you were part of a research team, right?
Yeah, I mean, Matrix was really unique. We not only did treatment, but we were doing development in the field, both as a model of treatment, as well as looking at medications to see if they were helpful. This is for the stimulant epidemic. In my area in San Bernardino County, it was mostly crystal meth, cocaine and crystal meth. And so my office there became the hub during the 90s and 2000 for research for medications and treatment for the crystal meth, which was an epidemic primarily back then, country-wise. In fact, internationally, all over the world. And when I had left the office, I started doing trainings in North America and in Asia using the Matrix model. So I was traveling all over the place for about 5 years until 2008 when I decided to, you know, make a lifestyle change and come to Uganda. And that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, for sure. So that was kind of, because you guys were doing the research, you were on the cutting edge, and you talked about even you had wanted it to kind of go technology-wise at that point, but it just wasn't, the structure wasn't set up yet.
Yeah, it, you know, you can see the writing on the wall. I mean, it was, you got to remember back then, it was an app. I don't think there were apps back then.
There wasn't any apps.
But you know, we had the technology, you know, and we had this model that was in a booklet form. And so I figured we could develop a program where as a therapist, you can have the information there and you could type out all your information about what goes on in a group or individual session. And that could all be formatted into some software and you could use that along with, you know, the treatment model. And that was back then. You could have done that. It could have been developed. Yeah. And then, of course, pushing it out to other areas. I was involved in drug courts. So I was working with the criminal justice system and developing a model for that, a treatment model for that. Also, I developed a youth program. I was involved with the adolescent model matrix and ran a program along with the adults.
I have a funny story about this because I remember that you went to go do, you had to fill in and be a counselor for the youth program for a little while. I remember you had to quit because you said to me, you said, this girl reminded me so much of you that I wanted to like slap her because I was not a nice teenager. I was a mean teenager. And I remember it was like triggering my dad. This girl is like triggering my dad for me because I was so mean that he had to, it was so bad. He had to like give his duties up to someone else because it was reminding, this girl was reminding me so bad. And so again, I would like to formally apologize to you and my mother for who I was as a teenager. But,
All right.
I remember you telling me that. I remember that really hit home. I was like, dang, he had to like quit this because of how bad I am.
Well, you know, it's funny because also, you know, it's, you were teenagers back then and the concern about you actually getting involved in drinking or using. And I remember you saying, there's just no way we could ever get away with it because I just know way too much.
In fact, do you remember that time when, so one of our friends, so our friends used to think it was funny what you did for a living. Like they used to think it was funny that he was a therapist or funny that he was in drug and alcohol recovery. And I remember this one time we had a friend who played this joke. Now this is back when there was answering machines and you would play the answer machine out loud, you know, when, whoever called because everybody out there who's younger, you know, millennials and younger, they used to have to call a place, not a person. And if the person wasn't at a place, you had to leave a message and you had to wait for them to call you back. So one of our friends calls and my younger sister's name is Tanya. And he says on the answer machine, hey, Tanya, this is Ryan. I left all my weed in your backpack. You know, I need to get it back from you. And it was a joke he was playing on our dad. Because he knew that my dad was in recovery. And so we're all listening. We used to all play pranks on you. I'm sorry, Dad. We used to play. We put a 6-foot snake in his bed. Like we did so many
things. Yeah.
And that's which right. didn't scare that. Him at all, by the way. And so he's listening to the answering machine and we're all outside his bedroom door, like listening to hear his reaction to the answering machine. And he listens to the message and then he goes, Tanya, bring me your backpack, like really serious, right? And we're all dying laughing and we're like, Dad, it was a joke from my friend Ryan. And he's like, oh, that's so funny. Give me your backpack. he would not believe that it was a joke. And he searched her backpack. He searched everything. So it was true. We would not, he would have taken one look at us and been like, no, you're on something. I'm not gonna take it. So yeah, we used to say
that. Well, that became a great deterrent.
Yeah,
you know, it worked. So hey, whatever.
It was good. That and him scaring us to death with stories. But
yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah, I remember. I've told this story before, but I think I told it on our live where you came home with like bongs and like mirrors and books, like all this stuff that your clients had brought you. And
the paraphernalia.
Like, the paraphernalia. Mm-hmm. You were like going to educate us. I remember my mom freaking out that you could have gotten pulled over and arrested. And it was like this whole thing. So that's how I grew up, folks. So when I was like, hey, Dad, we had started off. So we have a culture, right? In our family, like about like personal development and improvement. You always ask us what's your growth edge? You know, it was very much a personal development. And we have this kind of mentality of your life can be better than it ever was before. Like you can have this improvement thing, but that in order for your life to be better, a lot of times you have to dig stuff out. You have to heal from things. You have to figure out your wound. You know, we've had a lot of conversations about what's your wound, you know, all these things. And so when it came time to do, you know, technology, I had originally brought him in because I was making a life coaching app. And then we were like, hey, you know, making your life better than it was before, recover, you know, drug and alcohol recovery really needs this. And Dad, you're an expert. So let's just collaborate on this. And in order to make it, in order to make it feel intuitive, feel like it was appropriate for the time that your stage of recovery, your drug of choice, things of that sort, we decided to come up, we came up with an algorithm, right? These different journeys and when and where to use those journeys. And so I just wanted to touch a little bit on those journeys, what they're based on and why they work for recovery. So tell us a little bit about what the journeys are based on.
Well, there's seven journeys and those are stages of recovery. And so when we were working in the matrix model, we had five stages, and that was based on a lot of the emotional, neurological changes due to the drug use and alcohol use as it heals over a period of time. So there's like symptoms, and then the whole CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. So there are higher risk times of like cravings, emotional instability, you know, during certain periods of time as your brain heals and your body. And so that we had actually these stages that you could identify like a roadmap to recovery. And so what I did with those is I added a few more stages. One was the pre-exploration stage is somebody who's not in treatment or acknowledging they have a problem.
So it kind all of the way through. Curious.
Yeah, all the way through up to a year or more. And so the last two stages or three stages, we got five, six, seven. Yeah. So the last two were additional, kind of pushing it out further than what we normally had in the matrix model, because I wanted to provide an app for everyone, someone who really hasn't thought about whether they had a problem and evaluate that to somebody who's got, you know, 9 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years clean, you can get something. And so it's really unique in that aspect, is that there is something for everyone. And depending on how you answer the question when you start, like how many days you have clean, will put you right into that track of where you're at. So let's say you have 3 months, boom, you're right in that track. So they're very current.
And then we do sober buddy, and then we do the check-ins. So we have those seven journeys, but then based on how you interact with the app and do the check-ins, it'll take you on these like little side quests to help you with different things.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like if you had a relapse, then there's specific challenges to help get you back on track. And of course we're looking at developing that out even more.
Yeah.
In our
there's so
next
many
phase,
cool things which, we're doing.
Yeah.
Behind
yeah
the scenes,
really.
Everybody.
We really are. So this is unique. There's nothing else out there. And of course I've taken 23 years or 24 years of experience working in all different levels, both clinical, research, administrative, training, and just put that through. And it was really amazing as I sat down and began to write this out, how it just flowed. I mean, it's just like, just
yeah,
came
really
out,
cool.
Just kept coming. It was
things.
Like, okay,
His expertise has been really cool because we run everything through him. Like, hey, this is right? And there'll be things where I'll be like on with developers and I'll be like, okay, we have these amazing ideas. And we're like going off on some tangent and some idea. And then I'll be like, okay, let me just run it by Paul real quick. Let me run it by my dad, make sure it's good. And sometimes he'll be like, oh, no. We've tried that. That will fail epically. We've done that in group settings or whatever. And that experience, you know, in theory, it seems like it would work. But you know, and they, and you guys thought it would work in theory, and then you tried it out in actual group settings and then it didn't work. So it's been great that it's not just your education, you know, but your experience that has really helped us. And even your experience in running, you know, managing employees and things of that sort. It's been really helpful having you as a resource, like how to manage, how to hire, how to, you know, let people go that aren't working out, or just things like how to manage anxiety. You know, my last podcast was about anxiety, and I talked about you and you telling me to put my feet on the ground and things like that. But even he'll tell me, you know, stop drinking so much coffee and go work out. I'm like, you really need to get rid of the stimulant caffeine. And, you know, that's contributing to those anxiety attacks on. But, you know, because you had, you know, we both have similar, we have a similar disposition, you know, with similar things. And we've kind of, like, you started having heart palpitations and stuff like in your 30s, and I started having them. And he was just like, you gotta hit the gym every day, get rid of that adrenaline. And it has helped a ton to do that and just have your experience. So it's been this really cool journey, you know, pairing up with, you know, my dad, you know, and I have all sorts of dad validation too, because he's like, you're a rock star. And I'm like, my dad thinks I'm great, you know. But
well, it's been great. I mean, I never in my wildest imagination would ever thought that this would happen, you know. And of course, I have three daughters, you know, and they're all great in their own way. And this is just a really special journey with you. I mean, it's been amazing. And you're right. We really work well together, because I think we think a lot alike. We're same kind of temperament in many ways. It just works.
It does. I guess we get each other, right? Yeah. It's so funny. I wasn't sure if it would work. I was like, I'm either going to like love or hate him at the end of this. And it's been an incredible collaboration. Now, you do live in Uganda. I don't know how we'd be if we were in the same office. Maybe the space gives us a good.
That could be true. Yeah, that's right.
I had this hilarious moment where I'm never on Facebook. I never got super into Facebook. And but I was on there because I have to be on there for the Sober Buddy page. And so I ended up seeing like a bunch of people from our childhood, right? Like a bunch of the kids that I grew up with. And there were like three different guys who had turned into their father, like same exact career, looked just like them. Like I was like, oh my God, they've turned into their father. And I'm kind of like clowning them in my head. Like, you turned into your dad. And then I was like, wait a second. And I realized I turned into my dad. I mean, I'm doing something. It was just this funny moment. I was like, all right, well, take your judgment hat off there, girl. But so it's been this incredible collaboration, incredible, you know, ability to work together, and just what we've created. I love what we've created. Right now, we've been around long enough. The app's been launched 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 years. And so now we have people who have said like, oh, I've been sober a year using Sober Buddy, and, or people are saying this changed my life, or I don't know what I would do. This is my lifeline. And that is amazing, because it's like, you come up with this theory, this concept, you're thinking this should work in theory. And then when it does, it's like, oh my God, you know, this is amazing.
Really? It's, same information, just in a different platform.
Yeah.
And I think the culture has kind of made that transition. I mean, people of my age, maybe your age, you know, who didn't really grow up with, you know, the internet and social media and apps, you know, it would have been too far of a stretch. Yeah. So well, I think COVID. The timing of it. Yeah. The timing of this is just right. Yeah. To have this at hand, it fills treatment gaps. Unbelievable. I mean, areas where we've had struggles with, you know, people going between residential to outpatient to aftercare, you know, or what about people who maybe don't see themselves as having a severe enough problem to get treatment? You know, they're kind of like over drinking, or just kind of a little bit here, a little bit there. They don't see themselves being addicted or having that kind of an issue. I mean, Sober Buddy will address the mild user or drinker, somewhere along the line where, you know, they would not ever access any kind of treatment. And then aftercare, you know, there's availability for that, or people waiting for treatment, you know, waiting lists and backlogs, or they don't have insurance coverage. I mean, there's just so many areas that this kind of fills that gap. Or long-term treatment, you know, after, you know, what about a year or so? I mean, we have stuff that really will encourage you, move you along. I mean, our last stage is called Thrive.
No, it's called Alive. It's called Alive.
Alive. Okay. I have a program here called Thrive.
Your other program is called Thrive. You're mixing
us up. All right. Got the wrong program.
Get in the sober buddy head game, Dad.
Yeah, right. That's right. You know, coming alive. How do you do that? Mm-hmm. And I think it's important because if recovery doesn't become meaningful, purposeful, and have great value, then you kind of like burn out.
And
that's where you can start thinking, reminiscing back about, well, you know, I remember this time when I had fun or something, or you just start to become lost. So recovery is more than just stopping use and maybe going to meetings. It means really having a life that's you enjoy, that's meaningful, purposeful.
To replace it.
And how do you do that? So that, and I think we have at least three journeys on that. The last three helps build that, you know, goal setting and how do you manage your time and how do you take risk, you know, exploring, you know, new things you've never done before. And, you know, all that, you know, there's just a lot of challenges for that. And we can cover some of that, you know,
yeah,
we can look at maybe looking.
I wanted to go over really quickly. What it kind of goes on behind the challenges. There's expertise behind it. There's experience behind it. There's a lot of thought behind these challenges. Even when we tell you to go buy somebody a coffee or something of that sort, that's part of that long-term recovery journey where we're saying, get out of your comfort zone, start to build belief in yourself, start to discover new areas of yourself. And sometimes we ask you to do things that seem kind of odd or seem just like, what does this have to do with recovery? But it's really about self-development, life building, because one of the biggest indicators of success is that you build a life you love in replace, you know,
right.
You're talking about replacing your drinking or using life with a new life that you love. And so we're trying to get you out of that, out of a rut. You know, I love that we came up with this saying, like, we believe that you can have a life better than you've ever had before. And we give you the tools to dig yourself out of a pit and the skills to dream up and execute a new life, you know? And so I really think that we achieve that with our challenges, and we're continuing to improve on all of that stuff, or add to it, I should say. And I'm so excited about everything that we have in the works. So thank you for joining me today, Dad, all the way from Uganda. And it's late there. It's late at night for him there. It's early in the morning for us here. And that's just how we connect. I remember when you first moved there, we had to do like a delayed phone call with a phone card, and now we can just record and live stream.
That's right. It's been great. And I look forward to these. I really do. I think it'll be fun and interesting, and we'll see where it goes. So thanks.
All right. Well, you have a great night, and we will talk to everybody soon. Remember that if you have not gotten the Sober Buddy app, you can find it in either app store, the iTunes or the Google Play store. If you don't want to search it there, you can just search Sober Buddy, but you can go to our website, yoursoberbuddy.com, or follow us on any of the socials at Your Sober Buddy. Everybody have a great rest of the day.